Welcome to the Information Security Forum podcast. I'm Tavia Gilbert, and I'm in the studio with Steve Durbin, Managing Director of the ISF. We're here today to have a conversation about the CEO versus the CISO, the security breach blame game. We know that organizations are focusing on and deploying their efforts to meet their strategic and financial targets. However, board and security leaders should bear in mind that this is when cyber criminals are most likely to strike, causing disruption to organizations' financial bottom line and reputational damage that no doubt affects share price. When the business is performing well, the CEO takes the kudos, but when a security breach happens, the CISO takes the blame. For quite a few years, Steve, you've been quoting that data is king, and that message is more relevant today than it's ever been. In today's modern way of doing business, when cyber breaches, loss of data, and information security are what make or break an organization, there is an increased need for company structure and better use of technology to support agility and strengthen resolve. Steve, how should a CEO or a CISO guide their organizations through these challenging times of mounting cyber threats, data privacy issues, and new technologies?
I think you have to start with, particularly if we look at mounting cyber threats, we have to start with your process for maintaining situational awareness. We operate, obviously, in a very fast-moving space. And all too often, I think we are able to get information, data on what happened yesterday with being told what it is that we ought to have done to prevent it. And in certain instances, of course, that is valid. However, I think we also need to be looking forward very much more and trying to anticipate some of the threats that are out there and could really come to pass and impact our businesses. And there are a number of ways in which we can do that, of course, from being part of industry groups that look at that thing, from using some of the materials that the ISF produces, such as the Threat Horizon Report, for instance. Whichever an organization chooses, the important thing is that you do have some form of trying to anticipate those mounting cyber threats. And really one of the challenges in that particular area is how do you then put in place some of the mitigating factors or infrastructure or training or education to really enable your user base to combat those threats and ideally prevent them from having a business impact. So if we break all of that down and we think about that in terms of what does that mean on a daily basis, there is a significant amount of effort that is required in terms of communication, collaboration across the whole senior executive team to communicate effectively right through the different departments across the enterprise. And a lot of organizations, I think, are seeing that there's room for improvement in that particular space. So that's on the cyber threat side of things. If we look then at things like data privacy, well, one of the big challenges that we all face here, of course, is that we've seen, certainly of late, an increase in the compliance burden with regulations, legislation, not just the general data protection regulation across Europe, but also things like the new laws that are coming about, say, in California, India, Australia, all around the world. So for a multinational organization, you know, one of the challenges that we have in here is really trying to understand what their obligations are and how those obligations map across the different geographies in which they're active. So there is a need to have somebody within the organization whose job it is just to do that scanning on a regular basis. So the compliance burden, the amount of time required to be doing this sort of thing has inevitably increased. If we then align that with the threat, we need to understand what we do, how we go about doing it come the day when we perhaps lose some of that information. We need to practice it. We need to have in place some of the cyber simulation exercises. We need to perhaps look at how other organizations are doing it. Now, if I look at the financial services space, for instance, very many of those, you know, banks, insurance companies will collaborate in this kind of space and really try to come up with best practice for themselves there. Again, it isn't so important how you go about doing it. What is important that you do it. And then the final piece is around new technologies. And here, I think you are heavily reliant upon your CIO to really provide you with the best insight into whether or not what you have in place is fit for purpose when it comes to how you're looking to grow your business and develop your business and train your people and meet your customer needs. So the onus, I think, in terms of new technology is really being very clear about the potential solution that it can provide to a very real business problem that you have identified, whether that be in-house or in your customer base in terms of how you're trying to reach them and deal with them. If you can then align those and enable security around it so that the solution that you're providing is secure and meets the needs of data privacy, if that's appropriate, and also the mounting cyber threats, then really that is the ultimate goal. So it does involve a number of different people across the enterprise. It isn't in the remit of any one person. It requires probably a higher degree of collaboration and cooperation than we've seen up until now. And I think we should also be including in that some of our third parties, because again, when it comes down to the technology element, certainly, whilst the CIO can provide some of that corporate in-house guidance, there is a role for the vendors too in terms of explaining what their product route maps might look like and how that might apply or not to what it is that you're trying to do from a business standpoint. So there's a lot in there, really, when we look at all of this. But I think the important piece for me is that when we talk about cyberspace and the way that people operate within it, we have to understand that it isn't just the responsibility of one or two individuals. It is a team game. We do all have our part to play. And the role really is for everybody to come together and determine how they can best equip themselves to deal with the different issues that we've just been talking about.
You said something interesting, that people are collaborating across industries. You mentioned banking and insurance. Are you seeing collaboration that's maybe new between CISOs or between CEOs or between various industries to get some of these best practices established?
I think we are seeing, a higher degree of cooperation, certainly when it comes down to the financial services space in terms of playing out some of the impacts of very significant threats. I think one of the things that perhaps is beginning to play against this somewhat, though, is that there is some competitive advantage now to be derived from having a efficient cybersecurity strategy in place that really is part of your business strategy. And the reason for that is that if you integrate cybersecurity strategy with business strategy, which I believe we should all be doing, then by the very nature of having done that, that's a competitive advantage because your business strategy should be geared around competitive advantage. So a number of years ago, we would always say, for instance, that there is no competitive advantage to be gained from security. So therefore, we should be highly collaborative and share information and so on. That for me is changing. And so the challenge in this area is how do we continue to collaborate in a very open way whilst also preserving the strategic piece that does provide us with an advantage, because we do want to share information with people who perhaps are our competitors, if not today, then maybe tomorrow. I'm thinking in particular of the way that perhaps financial services, is having to cope with fintech in particular, and of course more recently retailers moving into that space, the whole rise of things like mobile apps for transactions and so on. And so clearly that is a changing competitive landscape. And yet at the same time, there is clearly opportunity to share good practice in terms of securing personal data or the way in which that data might be used, or indeed the way in which financial transactions are taking place. So I think that we're entering a slightly different era of balancing, what we can share, what we can't share. But ultimately, of course, within the security space, collaboration is still something that is, we know, can be very much more effective than people trying to go it alone. And certainly, if I think about, the ISF, was founded from that basic premise that by collaborating, people would be able to be in a much stronger position to combat some of the emerging threats of cyber and information security, as was then, than if they operated on their own. I think that basic premise still holds true. We just need to be a little bit careful about how we go about doing it. Because as I say, if you align cybersecurity strategy with business strategy, then clearly you're going to be divulging some areas of competitive interest.
Right. That makes sense. Thank you so much, Steve, for sharing your thoughts on how senior executives across the business can define their respective roles, particularly in the event of a breach. Also, thanks for bringing some focus back to the fact that both business and security leaders need to keep abreast of what's available to them to help address cyber criminal activity. It's clear that the ISF's role in this space is to remain relevant to the needs of our existing and potential members and clients all around the world. To learn more about the ISF and the guidance it provides, visit securityforum.org.